Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I'll be your host this afternoon. This is another in our ongoing series, The News in Review. Today's program will be featuring three cases: Kaylee Anthony, Haley Cummings, and Summer Thompson. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
She did try and call in sick, but I wouldn't let her.
Never did.
From Gainesville, Florida, we have the news and programming director for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ, it's always good to talk to you.
Thank you. Same here. Beautiful day in the neighborhood.
And TJ, I have to ask you a question before we start the show.
Yes.
I understand that you were giving some pitching lessons to the University of Florida Gators baseball team a couple of days ago.
I was asked to throw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Florida Gators baseball game, and what I showed them and what I demonstrated to them was how not to do it. I played a little bit of baseball in my day, but I retired at the fine age of 35, and I think now I can probably throw my age as far as miles per hour. I think it floated in there somewhere around 50. I don't think the 93-mile-an-hour fastball has a chance of ever reviving itself, but they were very kind, and they all gave me a nice little pat on the back. They said, thanks for getting it there, Pop.
That's great. And from Sin City, Nevada, we have the crime doctor, Denny Griffin.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, Denny.
And I'm going to do a quick shameless plug here before we start the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next Saturday, I'm going to be running a special program at 2 p.m. Central, Vegas and Crime, Then and Now. And we're going to be looking at crime in Vegas, both under the mob rule and now under corporate rule. Denny's going to be joining me, along with author Jay Rankin. And we have a couple of really, really interesting guests. Ex-Vegas mobster Frank Collada, who was part of the Hole in the Wall gang, and an ex-Vegas detective, Louis someone. Denny, refresh my memory.
His name is Louis D. Tiberius, and he was originally from New York. In fact, he worked on the New York PD as we started his law enforcement career, and then got laid off and moved to Vegas, and he did 27 years with Las Vegas Metro. And a lot of that time, the last portion of that time, he was an undercover detective, and he was worked out of the intelligence unit, organized crime squad.
Oh, so this should be one really, really interesting show. I just can't wait for it. I'm sorry, Denny, carry on.
I said it should be a good one. I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to it. As always, our phone lines and chat room is open. The number to call with your questions or comments is area code 646-378-1120. Okay, let's start with a quick Kaylee Anthony update. There has been a couple of things that's happened this week. Jen, what's the latest?
Well, first thing that I guess we could start off with is about the George and Cindy Anthony's home facing foreclosure now. Apparently on February 22nd, the Bank of America filed foreclosure papers on documents on their house. And kind of odd, if you ask me, because, I mean, these people haven't made a payment, according to the records, since May. And 5 months after that, they did appear on TV, and they claimed that they was paid like $20,000 for the pictures and stuff of Kaylee, and the family went on a cruise. Now, I don't understand quite how they can afford to go on a cruise if they that far behind on their mortgage payments. And also, I always thought you got like 3 months, and then they would foreclose on you, but apparently they've given them some leniency or something here. But Brad Conway did make a statement saying that this would prove that they do not have a movie or a book deal, but I don't I don't buy that for 1 minute. I think it's all a ploy. I think it's to get more money out of people is all it is, to make people donate money to them.
There was a rumor running that some enterprising, internet person had put up a donation site.
Yeah, they said, like I said, now this is just a rumor, but I think it was more like a gag joke or something like that, but they did put up a site, and there was a thing on Facebook, but the website that they put with it to click on to go to it was a fake website. It was some kind of furniture website or something like that that I checked out. But now that was just basically rumor. That's about all it is. But anyway, that's what they claim, that they could be losing their house. But then they have the prosecutors did depose Roy Kronk's ex-wife, but they haven't released any information about it yet. But the big news is that prosecutors went to Judge Strickland with some material that they had gotten. They claim in secret materials or certain materials that they had to come into their possession. And they asked Judge Strickland for a delay on disclosure of it to the Anthony's defense team. And it must be pretty hot or something pretty damaging or something, because Strickland did agree to give them 30 days to keep, to hold it back. So I'm not sure what it is. Nobody knows exactly what it is. But, in my opinion, it might be something that, that they might be worried could leak out or that get contaminated or, something, run some kind of interference from the defense team. If they let it out right now, maybe they have to do some more preparing for it or something. I don't know. But that's what they say anyway. But and also they did release some more files and stuff to the defense team. They said that they listed like 19 items, and which were mostly CDs and a few of the DVDs that was released to the team, but they haven't been released to the media yet, though. They said it also included interviews, photos, transcripts, and also they noticed that there were some photos, speculating photos from the FBI of the trunk of Casey's car. So
Hadn't they been enhanced or something?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. It's enhanced. I didn't say that, huh? Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Photos from the car, so. And hopefully we'll see this evidence soon, hopefully.
Okay, and there was one last piece of news. The man with the hat bigger than Texas.
Yeah, he's supposed. Now this, I guess, this is true. That we heard that he was going to try to help the Anthonys out, but apparently they refused his help. So, who knows?
I mean, TJ, we know and love Leonard Padilla. I mean, does he have to insert himself in every case?
I think his ego is very present in both cases. I don't know why. That's a question we probably have to ask Leonard. Somehow or another, I get the feeling that somewhere in every fiber of his being, he believes that he might know the way to get to the truth of both of these cases here in Florida. And I got to tell you, it's wearing some folks out a bit, but everybody seems to stop, look, and listen when his name is mentioned in Central Florida.
Denny,
yes.
Have you been following the Anthony story this week?
No, as a matter of, well, I've heard a little bit of it, but I got to tell you, Simon, I that fires me up so much that I really have trouble listening to it because I my blood just gets boiling when I hear this stuff. So I've had to wean myself off of it. I was getting so close to it for a while, you know, going back several months, that it was actually affecting me. It almost reminded me of kind of the situation Cobra got into with Haley's case. Uh-huh. And so I'm still very interested, but I've weaned myself away from it to some degree.
You do tend to get that deeply involved, I know.
That's something.
It's easy to get that deeply involved in it. It's where it obsesses you. I know that's the way it does me.
Okay. I think we've probably done the Kaylee story as much as it warrants coverage. And don't get me wrong, I think Kaylee Anthony deserves justice. I just want to see justice done. But we do know that Kaylee is no longer with us. Let the courts decide the outcome. TJ, Summer Thompson is also a very, very sad case. What's the latest on the Summer Thompson?
Just a little quick synopsis. Summer, of course, is a little girl who got in a little bit of a tiff with her brothers and sisters and decided to run ahead of them on her way back home from school back in October. A few days later, her body was found in a Georgia landfill. Now, they haven't indicted anyone or pressed charges against anyone in this case. However, they do have a person of interest in this case who also has a big line of charges that he's facing. They extradited this man from Jared Harrell, a man in his 20s, from Meridian, Mississippi to the state of Florida this week. And he was being charged with 29 counts of child pornography. However, once he got to Clay County, where this little girl lived, and it was later discovered that he did some restaurant work, and he lived in her neighborhood from time to time, he was handed 12 more counts of production of child pornography and the molestation of the child involved. So evidently he had his hands on a child, used this child as a model for the production of child pornography. He is the only person of interest, according to the Clay County Sheriff's Office, Mary Destino. And these charges that he's facing are even more serious than the possession of porn that he already faces. Looks like he's going to be back in court sometime here pretty soon. But this guy already, because police are very good when they think they got a guilty person of something, and I think Denny's familiar with the term the perp walk. Well,
oh, yeah.
Now they have the – that's where they always show a suspect that they have in handcuffs or in jail clothing, and they are being marched either in or out of a police car to kind of plant the seed of the assumption that this person is guilty. Well, it didn't take much. This guy's face was all over the television. His name was all over radio. Both his name and face were all over the Internet. He had to wear protective gear when he went into court. For fear that his life might be taken or somebody would try to harm him. That's how effective the perp walk has been in this situation. He's highly reviled in the area right now, and the man is, you know, like I said, only made his first appearance. So we'll have to wait and see where this goes. But I will tell you that this is another hot spot. The thing is that they believe that they have the man who may have caused the demise of this young girl, but they definitely have a child pornographer off the streets. And that in itself is an A+. If it turns out that this is the man who harmed and killed this little girl, all the more the better. Now, if we just get the other cases in Florida up and going, we're missing Najee Dejere. We're still missing Trenton Duckett from the Leesburg area, which, by the way, I understand Nancy Grace Bombshell will be going to a court here in Central Florida, Ocala, Florida, the same courthouse that Wesley Snipes was a guest of when he had his tax fraud charges, that hearing, that federal hearing. I understand she'll be here later this year in federal court. She's already had her depositions taped for the Trenton Duckett incident. In that case, the boy is still missing. In that case, they still don't know where the mom went the night the boy disappeared. We do know that the mom had a history of mental illness. We do know that the mom went on the Nancy Grace show. Nancy Grace did not read her notes. Big surprise. And Nancy grilled her. And hours later, after the show aired, the woman killed herself. And the family of Melinda Duckett are trying to get some kind of a federal wrongful death settlement, or it's convoluted, and I'm not getting the words right, but it's going to court here in Florida. And, of course, Haley Cummings, we don't know where that child is, and God knows we'd sure like to find out.
I want to go back to Summer Thompson just for a second.
Please.
And I don't think I've shared this information with anyone, not even my wife. Whew, so it'll be a big shocker for her. Earlier this week, I was talking to a friend of mine, Robert Cicilanio, and he's kind of an expert on internet safety and physical safety. He has a couple of books out, and he's done the rounds on CNN and ABC and all these places. And he came out with a comment that one out of four children have been inappropriately touched. And I said, Robert, how can you possibly say that? You know, where do you get the statistics for this? He sent me a couple of websites, and yeah, sure enough, those are the statistics.
They are.
And yeah, that's 25%.
Hmm.
I was horrified. I would never have guessed it at that. I'd have put it at 1%. Maybe 2%, not 25.
This is a sad world.
Very
Denny,
sad.
Denny, have you ever heard that statistic?
Yes, I've heard quite a few statistics on that topic, and it's. I was stunned when I heard them. I was like you. I said, "This has got to be an error. It can't possibly be right." But it is right. Those statistics, at least the ones I'm familiar with, are in fact accurate, and it's a very scary thing.
TJ, I know that your kids are grown, but you
most
have
of.
Grandchildren.
Yes.
I mean, what do you think when you hear numbers like this?
What I see and what I've seen with my own eyes are a lot of times dirty little secrets. And nobody bothered to ever inform anybody of a man or a woman's dirty little secrets with their inappropriate behavior around children. What has happened now that it has come to the forefront, those dirty little secrets are getting exposed. And maybe that number is actually smaller than what's being reported. What we're getting now are actual reported incidences. And children are no longer afraid to say when someone has touched them inappropriately. They have a lot of different avenues. Sometimes kids lie when they get upset, or they feel that you know, something is unjust and what have you. But the tell the truth 99.9% of the time. They tell the truth about something like that. It's very hard for them to actually do it. And some kids you know, would prefer to stay quiet, but most do tell the truth when asked. I've seen it all different kinds of economic strata. It's not just some person who's got a drunk uncle or there's a stepdad who's a little bit of a lech because mom made a poor choice in boyfriends. Those definitely run the gamut. But professional people, doctors and lawyers and scientists and engineers and folks like that who have a proclivity for exerting control. It's more of a control thing from what I'm reading. than it is a sexual need, but a need to control something in one's life. And kids are the most vulnerable and apparently the most controllable, and sometimes that gets people excited in a sexual manner. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But yeah, those numbers are true, and they might even be a little light.
Oh, Jen. I mean, you have kids. You have grandkids. I mean, would you have ever guessed that those numbers would be the way they are?
No. Well, actually, I've never even really thought about it ever even happening until I started with these children reporting on it. I never realized that it was this bad in the world. But now I think about my grandsons. I've got three grandsons. And if somebody touched them inappropriately, I would be out for blood. I don't know what the answer is for it, though, because you just don't know. I don't know. I'm lost with words here.
Denny, I think you were about to say something.
Yeah, well, again, this is one of those subjects that really turns my crank. And we had talked, Simon, on a month or so ago about the children and crimes against children, sexual and otherwise, abuse of children. And we had talked then that maybe we would try to get some kind of a joint effort going to an educational thing about letting people know how bad it really is. And I've been remiss in following up on that. But it needs to be done. It is just an absolutely horrendous situation. And the numbers of... like TJ said, I tend to think, if anything, the statistics that are out there, as alarming as they are, may be on the light side, which is, it's just awful.
I think I need just a quick nap and try and pretend that this is all a dream. Okay, let's move on to the Haley Cummings case. TJ, what do you know?
We're pretty much at the same spot we were this week, this point last week. We've reviewed a lot of the tapes that have come back from the drug bust, tapes that have been released from jail. I've been asking for some more audio tapes from the Putnam County Jail because, you know, you hear things. And you want to make sure that what you're hearing is accurate. You want to make sure that what you're hearing is factual. You want to make sure that you actually hear what others claim to have heard, which means ferreting out the gossip and getting to the
right
truth of the matter. Now, I have made some requests, and I've not had a response yet from Putnam County regarding some requests for audio, recent audio, if there is any that is available that hasn't been totally redacted, pertaining to Ronald Cummings. So, you know, to say totally redacted, it makes you think, oh, well, gee, what's on that? Well, I don't know, and that's the reason why I'm making inquiries, and I'll continue to do so. Don't get me wrong. I'm not angry with Putnam County for not responding to the requests. God knows they get more than just me jerking their crank, and no one else seems to have gotten the audio either, so I'm just assuming it's not available at this point, but bright and early tomorrow morning I'll politely make that ask again. Also, I put in requests for more video and audio from St. John's County for Tommy Croslin and Misty Croslin. See what we got there, and perhaps even Donna Brock, if any, is available. Now, I will tell you that these law enforcement agencies are doing a lot of work, knowing that there are quite a few broadcasting companies and Internet services who wish to get these nuggets of insight into what's going on with these folks in the drug case and see if it doesn't have anything to do with the Haley case at this point or another. I will tell you that it's very difficult that what we have to do, and it's not their fault because they have to do what they can do on a shoestring budget. I mean, they're governed by county coffers and the taxpayers, and you don't want them to go to great expense there over something that they can do expediently on their end. So what they do is they make these very, what do you call those compressed files, Simon? The video files?
The things that caused us so much grief.
Yeah.
B.O.B.s.
B.O.B.s. And the thing is, with the transfer things, there are watermarks and things that happen on them, too. We're not equipped like a television station, bloggernews.net or the sky973.com. We do have some video suites here for a radio station, but we do not have all the toys that a fine broadcast television station would have. And what they are able to do is to do this in real time, take two producers, go through there, one play it to something that gives you a nonlinear transfer as far as digital is concerned, and then they can play with it from there. They can pull out a minute or two and show it on the news and c'est la vie. We, on the other hand, will take our time and try to get it done. It usually takes us about 3 days, sometimes a little shorter, sometimes a little longer, to get these up and going. But we want to make sure that they're not edited by us. What we try to do is give you what we can in bits and pieces that are able to be displayed on Internet pages, and you can judge for yourself, because nothing speaks louder than the truth. So I do want to just, you know, kind of throw that disclaimer out there, because it does take some time, and because we don't have the equipment television stations are blessed with, it does take us a little bit more time. So we do want to thank you for our understanding. We do know that Leonard Padilla has been told to bug off by the attorney for Misty Crosland. But, and there's always a big but, he doesn't speak for her family. So if Leonard Padilla is going to go buying them cars and places to live and cell phones and food, whatever, you know, it's American. If they accept his gifts, that's fine. But I can tell you that Misty Crosland's attorney, Mr. Field, seems to feel like it's giving them some undue influence in trying to make their daughter talk. But their daughter is 18. She's a person of her own personage and of her legal majority. So, you know, it's a bunch of words on a piece of paper. And does it really mean anything? And does it hold any legal bite? No.
Does Misty still have her lawyer?
It depends on who you ask and when you ask.
Yeah, because there's some
because he's floated
about
in
that.
And out. He has floated in and out of that page so many times.
Yeah, there's some question that someone had found a document where she had requested a public defender on the 18th of this month.
Mm-hmm. And then that letter was mailed out the 17th, I do believe. So it may have been. I don't have the record on that. I apologize for not
that's
having
that. That's
all
we have. That's all I know is that just that, and was just wondering if maybe she did fire him or he left or took off again on her or whatever.
He's what, quit on her twice?
Right.
Once after the CBS appearance, and, you know, then he can't quit you, and then he comes back. So the answer is, and honestly, and I'm not trying to blow it off, I don't know at this point. I don't have that information before me.
Okay.
And I'm just going to interrupt you for one moment, back to these videos.
Mm-hmm.
The file type is a VOB, and I don't know what it stands for, but I have my own acronym, and it goes along the lines of SOB. This is video of a bitch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. Sorry, back to you, TJ.
A lot of people have been going over things that have happened in the first 24 to 48 hours in this case. And I think that's healthy, because I think what you're going to find actually is pretty much all you need in the first 72. And the thing is, you have folks who either weren't aware or were very much aware and are more concerned about their outcome in this than they could ever be about a missing little girl. And I tend to believe it's the latter. All kinds of rumors are resurfacing. Some are interesting when you listen to them again, a second, third, or a fourth time. Others were dismissed quite readily at the beginning for a very good reason, because they weren't true, but they're still being rehashed and brought up again. Now, because it's been so darn long, some folks don't know that they're old rumors. And to them, it's brand new stuff being brought to the table. And that's why I try not to get too bogged down on some of the opinion sites on this. You know, I'll go for reference, and you learn something new every day. At least you know that what the community's feeling with the feedback and everything. But the guy Cousin Joe comes into mind, and I brought this guy up several times. One reason is that he kind of fits a certain profile that you can't exclude him from a possible suspect in this case. He's a guy who's been known to have a little bit of an odd interest in the way alligators eat other animals, and kind of has that little sick little fascination with that. He's also been in a lot of trouble with some breaking in of dwellings, some burglaries and what have you. And according to Misty, he's a very bad man, and he does some very bad things. And that alludes to some of the scuttlebutt that we've heard that he likes to allegedly put his hands on little kids. That's allegedly. So does he fit a profile? Would he be a guy you'd want to talk to? Yeah. Things that come up involve Cousin Joe, an argument about a gun, and then a gun being found in a ditch. That was one of the very first rumors that came out on this. And it's one that Ron says there was no argument, there was nothing, there was no argument with anybody. He said that right there on TV at the tent, so it was 8 feet away from him when he said it. So he tried to quash that as to whether or not it did or did not take place. But a rumor that was third-hand given to a, quote, reporter by a sister-in-law of one of the Croslands indicated that Misty, quote, woke up and saw Cousin Joe standing right over the bed or in the bedroom door, but we really can't say for sure who, what, when, where, or how. You know, you'd think that if you had something hot like that, you'd probably want to go to the police about it, maybe like, say, in 5 minutes after the child had disappeared and you heard about it. But why would this this rumor fester and maybe come out days or weeks later? And then really, you know, the relevance, don't know if there is any. But it appears that it didn't have much. That guy would have been in somebody's jail cell before he got the chance to even get out of the county line, let alone the state of Florida, early on in this investigation. But there are a lot of things to go over. A lot of people are confused about the lack of timestamps in the radio transmissions that took place the night of the child's disappearance when those were released. You don't have everything transcribed according to a timestamp. It gets confusing, and I understand that because it's recorded in the moment. And when you're not in the moment with it, it's very hard to listen to, and your mind starts wondering, and you start asking a lot of questions that legitimately make sense to you, but in the context of that night and who was involved and what was involved and the personalities that are involved, it probably makes perfect sense. So there's a lot of folks still scratching their heads.
Well, I mean, talking about the recordings, there's one in particular, the 911 call. 911 dispatcher dispatches, and one of the responders happens to be at I believe it's
a Crossland house. Yeah.
Why was he there?
I don't know, because we don't know when the tape recording started. If that was the first call, the first call. In this whole deal, was there a tape before that? Was there an entry or two that was missed? Is that really the beginning? You don't know. And, we do know that police were there. They were asking a lot of questions. You know, after all, you know, you think probably, I think Misty stated that she tried to get a hold of somebody at their house, and, Ron was pulling in. I don't have the transcript in front of me, so I'm trying to go from memory here. I'm probably getting this a little bit jostled. But, I bet somebody at that house knew the child was missing.
Denny.
One way or the other, they did.
Right. Denny.
Yes.
You're one of those people that sits back and listens, absorbs. What's your take?
Well, there are several issues in this whole case that cause me concern, and you know, and I'm hesitant to throw any stones. I don't know the people involved on either side, the law enforcement or the family members and associates of the family and all this. To say, but there are a number of things about this investigation from day one through today caused me some concern, and I probably, because I don't have the information to back anything up, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to speculate publicly on it. But when the dust settles on this thing, and someday it will, I don't know how long it's going to be, when the dust settles, it's going to be very interesting from my perspective to find out some of these things that went down or didn't go down that maybe should have happened and so on and so forth, and see just what shakes out, because some people might stop listening or caring after a resolution as to what actually happened to Haley. She's returned or found deceased or whatever, but that's certainly a milestone, but I'm going to be very curious to the fallout after that issue is resolved, to take another look at this thing as to what was done and what wasn't done and all that kind of thing. And I imagine, I don't want to speak for TJ, but I would think as a reporter, he's going to be very interested too, when the information comes out, exactly what transpired and by who and what, when, where, and why.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm sure TJ will agree. I mean, the dissection of this case after it has been solved, I suspect, will be most illuminating.
I've seen and heard some places of some sites I monitor and so forth, people speculating, as always happens, I guess, in these types of situations, that is there a book deal in somebody's future in this case? And, you know, there could be, I don't know, but...
Good God, no one can read.
Yeah, that's right. But the results, the aftermath of it, may be just as interesting to a lot of people as the start of it, to go back and, like we were saying, dissect this and find out what really happened. That could be something.
TJ, you and I have talked, I don't know how many times, the importance of the first 24, 48, 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be lots to learn once there is a resolution. I actually suspect that police procedures might change just a little bit.
They might. They might. I gotta tell you, the lessons learned on this, you're going to see, this might be the one that kind of revolutionizes how some of these matters are investigated and resolved. I can tell you things that have happened in this case that have also been somewhat seen in a couple of others just here locally. And that is the fact that these things get publicized very, very well. With the Anthonys and now with Haley Cummings, and that there is, for as much information that is out there, there's a lot of misinformation that is intentionally provided and guided and directed. And it's something that I think police have been aware of for a while, but I think it's going to come to the forefront as people in a criminal investigation actually start picking sides and rooting for teams instead of letting the wheels of justice take their turn and get this thing properly investigated and eventually prosecuted. I don't know, and I don't have it for any fact, and I can't tell you how much, but I have to imagine that some of this stuff in both the Anthony and the Cummings cases may have been sidetracked a little bit from time to time due to people playing and playing favorites, especially when it comes to the internet and with information and with misinformation. As Denny knows, lying's been around for a long time when it comes to the criminal element. And how you lie in the medium by which you choose to express your lies has changed significantly.
TJ, let me ask you something. Talking about the fallout or the aftermath of this, whenever that happens, do you foresee a possible impact on, like Simon said, perhaps police procedures, investigative procedures, but also other agencies such as the Children's Services Bureau or whatever they call it in Florida, or anybody else, maybe even some taking a look at family court decisions and that type of thing, placement of children, you know, custody issues. Do you see this could have a more far-ranging impact than just with law enforcement?
Indeed. I think the Department of Children and Families is taking a close look at this as it unfolds. They've been involved with this from the get-go. They have been. And I'm sure that this is going to be one of those test cases for lessons learned. I'm also dead certain that family practice attorneys are going to learn what to do and what not to do in these cases as well. I would also think that those who work in other social services on behalf of child advocacy or fathers' rights, they're paying attention to this, and also for mothers' rights, too. People often forget because we assume that whenever there's a divorce or a custody thing, that 99% of the time, mom gets the kids. There's that 1% where that doesn't happen. But you're going to see all kinds of folks take a look at this and also examine what it is that took place, how it happened, and how we can make how we can refine our processes. Also, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if someone, the likes of perhaps maybe a Tim Miller or perhaps private investigators, there have been three or four who've been involved with this one, don't refine their tactics a little bit too based on some of the things that worked and things that didn't work in this case.
So it's possible that there could be something good come out of all this mess.
Yeah, there could be a lot of good things coming out of this mess, indeed. It's just too early to tell. We have to find out what it is we've learned, and once we do know, I guarantee you it'll be classroom teaching, and it'll be workshop teaching, and it'll be seminar time for those who've been in the various agencies, whether it's police, whether it's child advocacy, or a family law. They're going to be hitting it in workshops and in seminars to say, hey, you know, look for this. Hey, here's a problem. You know, even drug cops are looking at this situation here in Florida as something very, very new and something that needs to be dealt with. And once it's dealt with, they have to find out what's been effective and what was ineffective. So there are a lot of different folks who are going to get an education at the outcome of this.
Do you think any heads might roll over that? Is there any potential for that when this happens, that somebody might be held accountable if mistakes were made?
Oh, indeed. Indeed. I don't think there's going to be any kind of mercy in this. If a mistake was made in this investigation at the hands of a police or FDLE or FBI, I can almost guarantee you that the people here in the local community, let alone the nation, will not let that die down. And because these are civil servants sworn to serve and protect, somebody's going to be held accountable. And I don't think there's going to be any sacred cows here. I don't think there'll be any sacred cows. If somebody really dropped the ball really dropped the ball on this. Short of a public flogging would take place. It would be very, very public, I believe. Because the rest of the investigators, I'm telling you, they are working so hard to the point where sometimes they've had to actually go on doctor's leaves, or they've had to be told you must take time off, you know, and get away from this case, putting in, you know, 16, 18-hour days, and sometimes going 7 days a week and not taking a break. You know, I've heard from supervisors saying that they actually had to take some of their folks off the case for a while. You know, walk them around the block, get some cold water on them, because they're getting into it too deep. And if somebody dropped the ball, I sure as heck wouldn't want to be in that briefing room when that was disclosed, because that in itself, they might need a cleanup crew after that's over.
And I believe that, well, I can think of a couple of instances of investigators that were out on medical. I mean, just, well, in one case, possibly burnt out. In the other case, it was a different problem. But I mean, it's got to be so tough for these guys. I mean, you know, when most people think of jobs, they go, 9 till 5, you know, regular paycheck. But that's really not the way most detectives work. I mean, you know, they're on the case 24 hours a day.
It's crazy. It is just absolutely crazy how many people have really been burning the midnight oil and really been just going crazy trying to get this thing solved. A lot of people think that law enforcement is, you know, just a bunch of donut eaters, and they don't really care, and blah, 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 it ain't their kid. Guarantee you, they put a little bit more into this than anyone could ever imagine. They're not the patron saints of the badge. Nobody is. But I'll tell you what, if you ask anybody higher up that's been taking a look at their work, they'll tell you that they've been following it by the book by instituting the CART maneuver and everything else, which involved FDLE and FBI, the moment they found out about this. They had the folks on the ground. So far, they haven't had any slips that anyone knows about, but you never will know until the child's found and the outcome takes place. And we won't know that, you know, the outcome probably for a couple of years. We might find the child, but we won't know the outcome for a couple of years.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, you may never actually know the outcome.
That's true.
Because if you know the techniques that the cops are likely to use, you'll change your method of operation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, one of the things that has been bothering me is Donna Brock. Well, whatever happened to that special hearing?
I've not seen it come up yet. I've not been able to find that. That doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. I'll tell you folks that I've been a bit away from the story due to some of the other things that I have to do for my job. So I have not located anything on that that special hearing. No results from it yet. But I always look, and if that has taken place, I'll have it as fast as we can get it.
Actually, maybe we should explain what this special hearing is all about. It's a Latin word, which I've forgotten, but essentially it is to ascertain who she is, where she actually lives, and what her assets are, because no one seems to know. You know, got a driver's license in one state, home in another state, except it may not be a home, and seems to live in a third state.
Mm-hmm. and a husband somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, even that is not well understood. You know, are they divorced or are they still married?
Well, one thing that we know of, when you listen to the tapes and you listen to some of the stuff that takes place prior to the bust, Ron, I think it was Ron's voice, who says, we'll be making another trip up to the VA. And this lends right into something that Cobra Stobbs had mentioned, oh, God, what was it? May, June, something like that of last year. But he said, here's what they do is they get their prescription. So they get a prescription and they get it filled at a military place, in this case perhaps a VA, and then they get the script taken care of at a regular pharmacy, and they get duplicates, use what they want, and sell the rest. Now, from what I've been able to find out through MySpaces and Facebooks and things like that and a few other records, Donna Brock is married to a man who was a former chief in the Navy. So, you know, there's a military tie there. I do believe that Ronald has some relatives, either an aunt or a cousin, who may have been either in the military or worked for the military at one time and may have access to the VA or to military PX, where you get your RX, and that might be the supply line too. But in any case, might Donna have been the person who's been the new person who was providing the supplies?
Yep.
With out-of-state ties.
Well, because Donna Brock's husband's supposed to be an ex-Navy guy or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So she could be, she could have access to it.
All right. Here's a question. Now, I'm not ex-military. I won't say I avoided the draft because I certainly didn't. I was never invited to join.
You weren't asked to dance, huh?
Right. But what I don't understand is, you know, I go to a doctor. He scribbles something that only his mother could read. I take it to my pharmacist, and she gives me a brown bottle, and away I go. They don't give me the little piece of paper back. Does the VA give you the piece of paper back?
That I don't know.
I mean,
that I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't know. I've never been to the VA.
No, I mean, I just cannot believe that. You know, you hand your little piece of paper over, you get your brown bottle, and they say, thank you very much, here's your piece of paper back. I mean, where's the paper trail? I wouldn't
I don't know, and I think once we get that unraveled, we're going to learn a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, I think we should work on that angle. And but by the way, I guess the supply of oxys and roxys has decreased a bit with the whole gang being behind bars.
It might have. I tell you what, though, there are still plenty of avenues for which people can get those, and that's at those pain centers. We just had another huge series of 50 people were arrested in Marion County, and that's half of our listing area. Alachua and Marion are the two primary counties, with Putnam, Levy, and Gilchrist and Citrus counties are surrounding us as well. But they had 50 in a huge drug ring operation. Some of it was marijuana, but a lot of it was pills. We had another arrest where five guys had just come back from a pain clinic. We don't know how in the heck. All of them suddenly had, you know, back injuries, but over 1,300 pills on those five guys. They got stopped kind of creeping through a red light. Traffic stop initiated that. So, you know, but, yeah, evidently there's a little bit of a hit taking place there in Putnam County, maybe in St. John's, but the rest of the northern half of Florida, I'm telling you, it's booming. It is pillbilly nation here.
Okay, I'm going to broach a delicate subject. There's a couple of things we can't talk about. What can we talk about? Or how much of it can we talk about?
Well, I will tell you that there's some news that is taking place with the with William Cobra Stobbs and his false imprisonment charges when he put Snodgrass fella face first in the dirt in front of live cameras and in front of officers. It appears that Stobbs will not be, that he may be reaching a deal as early as Monday. It was hoped that it would have been reached by Friday. That will essentially make him a free man under certain conditions, which would mean a special way of pleading in his case that would result in no adjudication and perhaps finding him back to work with the exclusion of Putnam County.
Right, yes, indeed. Right.
You can practice anywhere you want, but you ain't turning pro here. But that's about as far as I can say.
As I understand it, thou shalt not set foot in Putnam County.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that when Major Bowling said we, in a sense, want you out of here by sundown, cowboy, he meant it.
So, I wouldn't want to go back anyway.
Well, I will tell you, after speaking with Cobra over the phone this morning and on Friday night and a little bit yesterday, I can tell you with a great deal of certainty that he has no intentions of not even going back for the Blue
right.
Crab. Well, so, yeah, he's never going back. So.
Yeah, I got basically the same information.
I've never been there, and I don't particularly care to go myself, so I can imagine how
well,
he feels.
Palatka is pretty nice with the Blue Crab Festival right there on the St. John's River, and the county is pretty scenic, and it's really not a bad place as long as the fumes from the paper mill are going the other way. So, you know, like I said, every town's got its good parts and its bad parts, but Palatka and Satsuma definitely have their share of societal ills, as every city does. Theirs has just been a little bit more exposed lately.
Would you have any comments to make about Marie Griffiths?
Well, I've been told by a number of people that you know she was planning on going on a vacation or a little trip away from home, but I really don't know if that really means anything or has anything to of merit to this case, but you know, it is what it is. I'm trying to. I got a very. Some of my sources, I will tell you, are right 95% of the time, and generally, that's a good starting spot. If you got a batting average of 950, I'll pay attention to you a little bit, but I won't go out on that limb for fear I saw it off and fall down with a branch. So I'm going to keep quiet on this to any great detail because, for all I know, you know, it's just, you know, everybody goes away from home for a day or two. So is that something to, you know, call in the FBI over it? Doubt it. But if it's anything, you know, more, of course, it would raise in some speculation or some interest. But the thing is that you have to go with some of your sources with a great deal of caution. I've had sources, and Simon, I know I've talked with you and Jan about this before, sources who have been ringing true 100% of the time until suddenly it becomes an agenda item, and they will just drop you, put you in the ground, and screw you hard just to be queen of the blog for a day.
Yeah. That moment of fame.
Yep.
Denny, have you ever had that happen to you?
I've had most everything happen to me at one time or another.
That's why he wears a hat.
Hey, Simon, I can't help. I really, you know, I regret if I raised this issue inappropriately, but we were talking a few minutes ago about possible missteps in Haley's investigation. And I just wanted to mention what I found, and perhaps you and Jane and TJ would comment also. I used to at one point think that law enforcement was almost infallible. I'm going back when I was a kid and the neighborhood beat cop, when they still had those in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
You were ever in any, I mean, you respected the guy. You didn't want him to be teed off at you, but he also knew that if you were in trouble, if you were lost, what have you, that was the place to go. You look this guy up, and you'd be taken care of. But I've come to find, and I wasn't law enforcement. I'm pro law enforcement, but law enforcement personnel are human beings, and there are weak links in law enforcement, like there are in any other profession. And I've come to find out that it's disturbing to me that there are more cases than I would have thought, than I would have hoped, of where there are law enforcement issues, and they can be, you know, a lot of it can be through laziness, or maybe somebody just shouldn't be in the position they're in for whatever reason, but they got through the screening process and made it. To actual corruption, you know, where people are taking advantage of their position. And I don't know what the experience is with the rest of you, but have you found that there are more instances of either incompetence or out-and-out corruption than one would believe, or do you think I'm just seeing the wrong side of things here?
That's a tough one. I think there's some politicking going on. Denny, sometimes that can get folks kind of confused with corruption, or can actually run, you know, parallel, wouldn't you say?
TJ, excuse me, I probably didn't make myself clear. I'm not talking about Haley's case or Putnam County specifically. I'm talking about law enforcement in general.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not targeting or speaking specifically about Haley's case.
Okay, but within every agency, there always seems to be, you know, some kind of a disruption in the pecking order, and that's what I mean by politicking. And I've seen this in not only in law enforcement, but in other, you know, avenues, where, you know, there's some gamesmanship going on in the United States here at all levels, whether it's in private business or within your police department or within your sheriff's offices or FDLE. Corruption, I don't know, but I do sense that there's a keen little bit of gamesmanship going on, where people are trying to leapfrog over others for positions or power grabs or departmental power grabs in a lot of different strata. So not necessarily limited to what I've seen here with our local police, but I've seen it widespread. And maybe it's because we're in an economic situation that we're in that folks are looking for a little extra nugget of security or a little bit more endearment to the boss or something. But I'm seeing some things of that nature.
Actually, Denny,
yes.
I think I would respond by saying maybe the percentage of corruption and other illicit things really hasn't changed. But what has changed is the level of reporting.
Very possible. It's a good point.
Yeah, and Simon, you bring up an excellent point, because it used to be you had radio, TV, and newspapers only. And you pretty much knew who had your local TV and radio station because you saw them and heard them. Your newspaper, if you were a daily, you were pretty well respected. If you're a weekly, it's like, well, maybe. and you know, and what kind of weekly are you? Because some of those were pretty agenda driven, but now you have internet reporting, internet news blogs, and you have to really be careful about that, because where's the filter? Is it a TV station's website? Is it a radio station's website, which is an extension of what they do anyway? Is it a newspaper's website or magazines, a legitimate magazine? Then you have some that they only cover one story, and what is their interest in that story? And is there a filter? Is there any kind of journalistic criteria being applied to these stories? Like, you know, check with three sources before you go about your business. You wonder if any standards are set or even being met. And I got to tell you, unless it's a very well respected website like BloggerNews.net. You better check the credentials, or at least request the credentials of the folks who are providing you the news on that site, because they could very well just be giving you opinion masqueraded as news. And you know, but where's the catch-all? I mean, how are you going to get them for maybe not telling the truth? You know, but only telling the truth as they see it. You know, so you have to find out where that filter is for you. And do they meet your criteria for being a legitimate source? In fact, in one of the, what was it? It was the Haley's birthday, August 17th, a memo that was released by the Putnam County Sheriff's Department that begged the citizens of Putnam County, for the love of God, be careful who you talk to. You know, and ask for some identification. Because you don't know, you know, if these guys are, you know, some bush creepers, you know, or just flicking pictures in people's windows and putting them up on the website claiming to be a reporter, or if they're the real deal. So, yeah, that, you're right. That is a whole new arena.
Well, you sort of answered it.
I used a lot of words to get someplace.
But I mean, you've been a reporter for lots of years. We'll just put it that way.
75. Okay.
Right. I mean, do you see corruption as more prevalent now than it was 15 years ago?
I see it exposed more, pretty much like the child cases. Where
I
you
think
were
it's always been there.
It's always been there, but it's there's more access to get it exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Denny, does that answer your question?
Yes, I think so, and I really think it is, Simon. You know that it's more out there now. You know, when we were talking about the statistics for the crimes against children. I think that, too, and I think maybe a lot of this stuff was going on years ago, but you didn't have the reporting of it. And now, with all these various venues to get the word out, you're having that, and things that might not have been brought to people's attention earlier on are now getting out there. And the numbers are becoming painfully clear in a lot of these cases.
But it's kind of like, believe it or not, with all of the earthquakes and tsunamis, and maybe even the tsunamis that didn't quite materialize, as we found out yesterday. The thing is, those things have been happening since this rock was formed in one way, shape, or form or another. It's just that folks on the other side of the rock where it didn't happen find out about it in 5 minutes as opposed to 5 days or 5 months. And it's all about access and connectivity that we have now that's so much better.
Is this a better news environment than we had before?
I will tell you, it's hard to keep up with, and for the consumer, they want it now, but I don't think when the consumer said, I want it now, that they thought that they would have to go through 300 different sources to find one that fits their worldview. But the marketplace will have a big say in who stays and who goes away, and I think that we're probably going to see that happen here before too long. I'd probably give it a good 5 years. Right now it's the wild, wild west on the internet, But then again, it's a good thing to have if you're already a traditional broadcaster or a journalist, like say with the newspaper. It's just an extension of your product. But for those who are going out there news only, you've got a wide open playing field there, and you can really cut out a niche for yourself. And I'd say if you're doing that, do it now and get it done right and find your market and own your market. Because there won't be too much left to share before too long. Folks are going to start making their choices now that they're more comfortable with their computers, and they don't necessarily change their mind too easily. So.
Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines. We have someone calling in from the 757 area code. Hello, 757.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first question I have is, what do we know about the Mexican party house that Misty went to the weekend before Haley went missing?
What I know of it is what I was told by Stobbs, who was investigating that aspect of it. I've never spoken to any of those people because, quite honestly, they didn't want to be spoken to. And for obvious reasons, one, there were many people there that probably didn't have a whole lot of papers, and two, English as a second language was going to be kind of tough for some translation. All I do know is that a party had taken place, and according to the interviews that Staub had conducted with Misty and Nene and Amber Brooks, that they were there. Misty was not exactly too fond of being there initially, and was not having a good time, let's say to speak. But I know what you're getting at, because there are rumors, and I do mean rumors, going out that perhaps there was an incident that involved one particular person of Mexican ancestry and perhaps some gunplay. Am I getting close?
Yes. I also wanted to know,
I will tell you this, there's been no report of anybody being shot and killed in or around that time in Crescent City that would match that person's description. We do have a person that's not accounted for, perhaps from that area. I don't know if that's been resolved or not, but no reports of any gun violence or any kind of shots fired or anybody being killed.
Okay, do we know if Lee ever searched that house?
If Ellie ever searched that house?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that Ellie will not talk about, because they'll simply say we don't feel like we should divulge information on an ongoing case. And so far, I haven't heard anything about that from them, as a matter of fact. There's a lot of things that they won't tell us. I mean, they just absolutely won't say. They'll tell you who they talk to, when they feel it's appropriate that they've gotten everything out of them that they can, or it may benefit them in the future to let folks know that they've been talked to. But they keep their cards very close to the vest, ma'am, very close. They've probably been one of the most tight-lipped agencies that I've ever been around. And they've been very tight-lipped about a lot of things.
Well, just because they're not reporting that they did doesn't mean that they didn't.
No.
True.
That's true.
Right.
What we're saying is, they've not made any kind of statement.
Right.
Statement about that. Okay. And thank you so much, TJ.
Well,
also,
thank you
I'd like to know a little bit more about Timmy and Chelsea, because I was listening to some old interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea had stated that she had just went to bed when she received the phone call that Haley was missing. But then also there's talk about the van being moved. If she had just went to bed, she would have known whether Joe was home, if Timmy was home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't. I'll tell you what, that van's been processed from here to Sunday, and that van was returned. Trust me, if it was something that had been found when they went through that with a fine-tooth comb, anything of forensic value, that thing would have never been returned. That would have stayed there till a trial was set. That would have been processed for evidence.
Right, right. I just don't understand how she can go from saying that she doesn't understand how it was moved and now they're trying to put Joe's name back out there again. But wasn't Joe staying in her residence? She would have known. If she was up late doing paperwork, she would have known if he was there or if he would have left.
You got to remember, it's like either talking to a rock where you're not going to get anything or talking to Jell-O where the story is very wobbly. There are a lot of people who will say a lot of things in this case, and everybody has their own agenda in it, especially the folks that Ellie has been talking to. And what exactly their agenda is or was at that time, when this is all made clear, will be, you know, painfully clear at the end. But it defies a lot of logic. What some stories have been stated to be is, you know, fact by some of these folks, and then it changes with the water. It almost defies logic. It really does. And I'm with you. I scratch my head when I hear some of these things get rehashed. I really do.
Okay,
but
these folks
don't really tell a solid story, and they rarely stick with the one they told you 10 minutes ago.
I'm realizing that myself.
It's painful.
It drives you crazy. It is.
Oh, yeah, it does.
It is. All right. Well, thank you so much, and I will let you guys continue your show. Have a great Sunday.
Have a blessed day, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This Cousin Joe thing, I mean, it's driving everyone insane.
Of course it is.
You know, law enforcement looked at him because, you're right, he's got the right stuff. You know, he fits the bill. But don't you think that if Cousin Joe had anything to do with it, he'd be behind bars with the rest of the gang?
Oh, God, yeah. And, you know, the thing is that we don't know how much Ellie does know, how much is hanging in the balance, and maybe perhaps what these folks in jail know about Cousin Joe, if they know anything. All I'm saying is he just looks like the most likely guy, and I think a lot of people share that sentiment when you take a look at it on paper. When you take a look at your roster, your players, oh, yeah, there's one. If he had been standing in a room over Misty, don't you think that would have been the first thing out of Misty's mouth instead of 16 different stories of the truth? Don't you think that in order to get her fanny out of a sling, it'd be Cousin Joe was standing there, Cousin Joe did it, Cousin Joe this? Don't you think when she's sitting there behind bars right now because she doesn't have clean socks or a honey bun or anybody to talk with and no access to the TV to tell people how wronged she's being done in jail, that she hasn't stood up right now and say, you know, Cousin Joe was standing over my bed that night. Boy, that would be a hell of an easy out, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly
would. I just don't
want
to point the obvious. Damn me for that, you know.
Denny.
So I think some folks need to look, you know, who are bringing stuff like that to the table, again, need to look for some other redemption except for some from Nancy Grace.
I do detect a hint of sarcasm from TJ.
Help you if you're in the same state reporting the story. That's all I got to say.
Ooh. Oh, that was another hint of sarcasm aimed at someone else.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was a brick.
Wow.
Ooh. Not nice. Boy, I'm going to have to talk to you. You're going to have to mend your manners on air.
I haven't dropped any bombs or bombshells.
Bombshells.
By the way, isn't that getting kind of tired and used? Aren't some amateurs using that now?
Yeah, actually, I believe Art's new gopher is using the term.
Yep. Oh, well. You ought to let people who, you know verbal ordinance take care of such explosive matters.
Right. Denny, before this show disintegrates into I'm not sure quite what, say something sensible.
You think sensible's escaping me at the moment?
Or join in.
I think he's trying to get you to bail him out.
Well, I don't know. It's talking about some of the other players involved here, not necessarily in the in the reporting of the incident. I know we talked, and I asked TJ several weeks ago what he thought of the reporting that's taken place here, and maybe I'll revisit that question now, TJ. More time's gone by, and there have been a few little changes, I think, with some of the players who were covering the story to begin with, or maybe still are, but their perceptions, the perception of them, at least for me, has changed somewhat. Have you seen where some people have either changed or were not quite what they seemed to be at the beginning of this thing, or no?
Misty's still losing her mind behind bars, and she can't understand why she can't just walk out and be free, because, by golly, this happens to other people and not her. So she's being very Misty, at least the Misty that I've run into and spoken with. Tommy, on the other hand, some subtle changes in there. You're seeing a guy who's very vulnerable right now. You're seeing a guy who's in jail. He says he wants to get clean. He says he wants to do the right thing. He says he wants to do anything, but is he just saying that just to get out of jail? Or is he saying it because he means it? There's a part of me that says that his brain means it, but he's going to need some help on the addiction part. Ron's demeanor is a little bit up and down, and just that's the demeanor that's got me. Because we're seeing more sides of that cat than I knew existed. So everybody just thinks that he's a cocky fella, and that maybe he behaves in front of Nancy Grace on TV, but he seems to understand that he is in trouble, and he seems to understand that his grandfather, if he's looking down from heaven, probably wouldn't appreciate the straits he's in. He understands that he's hurt the feelings of his mother and his grandmother, and I think he totally understands that he's in a potential world of hurt. But I also see him trying to be kind of tough and macho and a little bit defiant, too, in some of the things that he says. But his personality is just a little bit more changeable than the others. I'd say Tommy would be second, but Misty, if there's one thing about this inconsistent little girl, is the consistency of it's all about her and nothing else matters.
Yeah, even down to get me out first.
Yeah, get me out first and hell to everybody else. She'll put,
exactly.
She'll put bus, the tired tracks of a bus over somebody's back in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at all of the tapes that have been released, it's all me. It's not, let's find Haley, get me out so I can help. It's, get me some money. And poor Timmy's tax refund check, I don't know how much Timmy earns, but I mean, boy, everyone's got dibs on it.
Well, he also, have unearned credit, probably. So maybe he got a big amount of that back.
Do you think we should investigate that one, TJ?
When I get time. folks, I don't mean to sound so down in the dumps today, and I don't, I'm starting to get that chip on the shoulder again, and I realize it, and this has been so long, and just, man, have we been in neutral for way too long, and about the time it looks like we're going to get someplace, we might get somebody to talk, suddenly the folks are trying to, these folks that we think are silly and maybe not too bright appear to be trying to outfox the system again. But we don't know what's been in those phone calls that have been redacted. We don't know what's been taken out of the videos. And God only knows what else is going on that we've not been able to see. But hopefully, what we've not been able to see in here is being put to good use, and they're mounting up a pretty good prosecution against somebody, or mounting up a pretty good case to get somebody indicted on something. You know, and that's my big hope right now. And, yeah, you know, I'm getting a little edgy. I'm getting irritated again. I'm getting...
Well, we're getting that way, but law enforcement's probably that way too, you know.
They've been that way since probably day number 10, Jan, to be quite honest
exactly.
with you. They were really frustrated. They're like, how hard can this be? And they were just, and I got to tell you, you've never seen anybody start grinding their teeth like some of the folks from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Putnam County Sheriff's Department, and I think one of the FBI guys anyway that I ran into. I mean, they were grinding their teeth. Where is this kid? And it only made them madder as the day goes by. And it more resolved to get this thing solved.
Well, I can imagine it. You would.
You know, I've asked this question, I'll say 1,000 times before that. Maybe a slight exaggeration, but I've certainly asked it many times. I mean, what does need to happen to move this case forward?
We need to find that piece of the puzzle that's missing.
Okay, do we even have a clue as to what that piece might be?
No, because if we did, we'd find it.
Ellie said that they're so close, Simon and Jan and Denny, they say they're so close, and they said that back when they were, July. They said they were so close, they just had that piece of the puzzle, and they got to make it fit. August came, they thought that they were getting even closer, that they might even have that piece of the puzzle, but it wasn't fitting right. And then I never heard any more about the pieces of the puzzle after that. But I think they're probably so close, they can't stand it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because there are so many things that happened in this case. I'm telling you, they wish they could tell folks because they're tired of, kind of getting slop thrown on them when they can't defend themselves and they got something. But it's got to be provable in court before you can go crowing about it.
Right.
And, Denny, I think you know what I'm talking about. There's no sense in waving that banner saying mission accomplished when it ain't.
That's right. They'll be able to back it up.
Denny, do you think you could get any of your friends to help?
Well, actually, that might not be a bad idea in some cases. Of course, when the fellas I think you're talking about interview or interrogate, they don't feel compelled to give Miranda warnings and so forth beforehand, so they conduct their interrogations a little bit different than the police have to.
Now, Denny, wasn't it Capone's boys that actually went out and found the Lindbergh baby?
Yeah. These guys have a lot of contacts, a lot of sources, and I know it's kind of a joke, but it's true. I mean, they can get information in cases where law enforcement can't penetrate.
Okay. With that great piece of... advice.
You're stepping away from that, aren't you, Simon? There's a stinky diaper. I'm moving over here.
Simon.
Yes.
And I tell you, just before I forget, that tomorrow, you remember Andrew DiDonato, who was on, it wasn't the Haley show here, but it was the former Gambino mobster?
Yeah.
He and I are going to the publisher tomorrow to sign the contract to do his book, Surviving the Mob. So we're quite
good
excited.
Oh, good for you. That is great news.
Yeah, we're finally going to have her on official tomorrow. I've been writing for quite some time now on the book, but we make it official tomorrow with a formal signing.
Okay, we're about a minute from going off air. I'm going to go around the table, get everyone's final thoughts. Jan.
Let's find Haley. That's all I can say is I still want to find this little girl, and I still feel in my heart she's alive, and that's about it. Just keep praying for her.
TJ.
Amen. Let's wrap it up.
Denny.
Yeah, I guess I got to ditto that. I know we say that probably the majority of the conclusion of the shows here, but I mean, and that's still the bottom line. It's find Haley or find out what happened to her, and then whoever did it or knows about it, knew about it, or whoever was complicit in what happened to this girl. Either way, dead or alive, she's obviously at least been kidnapped at the minimum, is hold somebody accountable and then find out how this thing came to pass to begin with. What, you know, take a look at the whole picture and see exactly how this thing came down.
I want to thank everyone for taking part in the program today. And I'll give you my parting thoughts. I want this case solved. Haley may not be with us anymore. If that's the case, I want the person responsible to pay the price. This is Simon Barrett for Blogger News, wishing everyone a great Sunday, and thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.